All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Clearing my throat here a little bit, folks. So, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show once again, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago, state of Illinois. We're still in a flux. We do not have a budget. But anyway, on this day, I feel a little bit better than I did last week. You know, I'm getting over the flu or whatever the hell I had or have. Anyway, it's dark and dreary. And my family and I, we were out this morning doing some shopping, and it was just bright and it felt almost like summer. But now, you know, I mean, this is Chicago, folks. What can you say? You round the corner, every time you round the corner, the temperature drops and it gets muckier. But hey, wow, we're alive. We're still here. We're still banging away. So, you know, and I hope wherever you are in the world that the weather is cooperating and everything's going okay with you and you're doing fine and everybody in your family is doing fine. And you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, WTTY, out of the state of Illinois. I'm broadcasting in my wonderful, wonderful studio. We have a window in front of me. It's covered now because I don't know if it's going to start raining or thundering or lightning. And you never know in the city of Chicago. You try to listen to the meteorologist, but a lot of times these guys and girls are wrong. I don't even know why they have meteorologists. I guess they just love giving away money, maybe. But anyway, it's dull, it's dreary, it's sleeping weather. But hey, wow, for some of the kids around the United States, America, not all kids, but some children around, they're on spring break. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of us parents are saying, oh, no. You know, because it's one of the things I say to my kids when spring break when they're out of school, they got to do something constructive. They just cannot just lay around the house and do nothing, because that is exactly what most children want to do. Kids want to do. Once they're out of school, they figure they get summer break or a spring break, winter break. They figure, you know, at least some do. I'm not saying all, but some figure they don't have anything else to do but just lay around the house because they feel that they've deserved it. They've gotten A's and B's, so they have a right to lay around the house whenever they're is a spring vacation, summer vacation, and do nothing. And I say no. I say no, 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 no. Just because you're out of school for a whole week or a couple of months doesn't mean that you're going to lay around the house and do nothing. It ain't going to happen. Not with me, you know. Especially not with me. I mean, you're going to do something. I mean, you know, I mean, if you're college bound, something like that, if you're college bound, and a lot of kids are, I mean, you can take that time off. They can take some of that time off to, you know, look for colleges or apply for a summer job or, you know, or just volunteer somewhere. I mean, you just can't sit around a house because you feel like you deserve to sit around the house because you've worked so hard at school. Hey, wow, that's great. That's wonderful. But in today's world, you got to wake up pretty fast because this world has changed. Things are changing before your very eyes. Some kids have to find out what they want to be early on in life. I mean, you got some kids who are even 17, 18, and sometimes 19, they still do not know or haven't figured out what their future holds. And that gets me. I mean, hey, wow, you know, you've been, as parents, we've been grooming these kids since birth all the way up to 18 and 19, and they somehow still do not know what their future is going to be all about. And I talk to my son like this almost every day. I said, hey, you know, you got to know what you're going to be. I mean, you can't walk into an interview and the interviewer asks you, what are your future plans are? And you can't come up with anything. You know, I mean, that's, you're not going to get that job because of that. You gotta know, at least in my mind, you have to know what you want out of life after high school, after college. You don't know, then I don't know if anybody can tell you. You know, I mean, that's what I try to instill in my son. I don't know if he listens, you know, but, you know, I tell him every time. I mean, your life is your life. You're 18, 19 years old. Hey, wow. It's time for you to, if you haven't listened to me all these years, then you're on your own. You know, you're on your own. And don't come back to me. Don't come back to me if you get in trouble out there, because I've tried to warn you 1,000,000,000 times. You didn't listen. Now that you're out there on your own, you wish you had listened, but it's too late. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Like I said before, folks, it's gray, it's dull, but hey, wow, it's spring, right? It's supposedly spring. I don't actually think we've had a winter, actually. So I'm still expecting snow. Nah, I'm not saying I want it, but with this mild winter we've just gotten over, I wouldn't be surprised if it snowed in late May or early June in the city of Chicago. All right. Okay, so much for a monologue. Huh? I don't know if that's a monologue or not. I mean, you know, I'm just saying what's need to be said, I guess. And the news just never stops coming. And, you know, we're going to get in some things of what's happening in the news, what's happening in Chicago, what's happening in the world, if we can. A lot of things I'm not going to touch on because there's no need of repeating such things, because such things, you know, just makes you a little bit more miserable than what you already are. So we're not going to do that. 347-857-1762. My guest who is scheduled for the day to be on the show is Marilyn Shannon. I like that name, Marilyn Shannon. I mean, I'm pretty sure she has some things she wants to tell us about that we can benefit from. That's what this show is all about. The guests I have on this show, they're going to tell you what you need to do to better your life. And that's what it's all about, helping others to help others. And that's what it's all about. I want to read something I have on my screen. Our society seems to more and more devalue older people. And I do believe that. However, some cultures treasure their elderly. They care for them with respect and honor. They listen and learn from them. Being old sometimes come with great wisdom. Sometimes you got some elderly people out here, seniors, who are cranks, stone nutbags, but you got some reasonable ones out here too. And, I know a few of them, or I have known some of them. And, you know, so for those who can't comprehend that, then we know where you stand. Yeah, if a lot of people don't know that, I mean, hey, wow. You know, I was talking about this on the show the other day. I think it was last week. If you live to be, I don't know, 80, 95 or 100, you have lived a long, long life. I mean, that's why in some cases I don't feel remorse or sorry when someone 95 to 100 pass away, or even 85 to 100 to pass away, because they've been here for so long. It's time for them to take their rest, I think. You know, I mean, because when you get 85, you're going to have nothing but aches and pains, and the aches and pains are just going to get worse. So you need to take your rest. You need to, that needs to kind of go away by you taking your rest. It's nothing against it. I think elderly people, seniors, I think there are some of the greatest gifts on God's earth. And for them to be so respected, so disrespected, pardon me, for them to be so disrespected, treated so badly, treated like nothing, you know, even by some of the people who call themselves relatives, sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, you know, the elderly people have done something right. They've done a lot of things right, or because if they did not do a whole host of things that were right, they would not be here. They would not be here. I mean, you've got people dying in their teens, 20s and 30s and 40s, you know, dying a lot quicker than the elderly population. You know, and when I was young, maybe 16 or 17 years old, maybe even younger, 12, 13, I looked up to older people. One of the things, it's in one of my books somewhere, I looked up to older people, and I still do. I still do. But when I was 12, 13, I was looking up to older people. The reason why I tried to hang around people who were older than I was, and this is the truth, I hung around them because I felt that they could tell me things that nobody else could. The reason why I felt that way, because they've been around a lot longer than I have. You know, they have knowledge. They have wisdom. They have things that I need to know that I couldn't get from anywhere else. And that's why I hung around. I love being around elderly people. I love being around my grandmother because she used to tell me stories about picking cotton, you know, in Mississippi or someplace. She used to tell me about picking cotton. She told me about the Jim Crow laws, the racism that she and her siblings had to endure. I didn't know any of that. You know, I wasn't learning it in school. Well, you know, not at that time anyway. And I wanted to know these things. I was always curious about what went on before I was born. What happened? Who was here before I was here? And what were some of the situations? And I was an avid history buff because I wanted to know what the hell went on before I got here. Before I was born, before I was thrust into this mess. And, you know, I always say, folks, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to be here and thrust into this mess. It just happened. My father and mother had sex and bing, George Wilder Jr. Excuse me. Did I say I wanted to be born? No, none of us asked to be born. None of us asked to be here. None of us asked to be thrown into a world to be bullied, to be hated, to be ridiculed, to be made fun of, to be laughed at. We did not ask for that. We did not ask to be born into a world where there were racists, where African Americans were hung and mistreated, lynched, I should put it that way. We didn't ask for that. No, neither you nor I or anybody, blue, red, white, green, yellow, we didn't ask to be here. Our mothers and fathers had sex. Voila, you're here. Whoa, racism, hatred, my God, mean-spirited. We didn't ask to be here. You didn't ask to be here. I didn't ask to be here, but we're here. So we have to try to make the best of it. And we're going to find a partner and we're going to make more kids. We're going to bring more kids into this mess, you know. And so it's a double-edged sword, I believe, if I can say this. Excuse me, folks. I've been off for 3 days and I'm trying to get back into the groove, of things. And welcome to the George Wanda Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on I'm downloading Firefox. I don't know how good Firefox is. When I say Firefox, I'm talking about the computer interface. Now, I have Vista on one of these computers, and a lot of Microsoft is not dealing with Vista anymore. And it keeps telling me that Vista is outdated. So I'm trying to download Firefox. I don't deal with Internet Explorer anymore because that's part of Microsoft, and they said they don't deal with Vista, just like they don't deal with XP. But I think if I had to actually choose one of the best Internet systems here, it would probably be XP, because I've had XP for years, and it worked fine until they came up 10. My God, especially when they were telling you to download it quickly. You had to download it on the computer. I downloaded, and a lot of people that I know downloaded Windows 10 onto their computers after having Windows 8 or Windows 7. We downloaded Windows 10, and Windows 10 at that time and at that point screwed up the computers. The drivers wouldn't work. In some cases, the mouse would not work. But I'm thinking right now that it's okay, especially if you buy your computer with Windows 10 already installed on it. That may be a better way of doing it than downloading Windows 10 onto your XP or Vista or 7 or 8, Windows 7 or 8. But, you know, some things may work for you, may not work for other people. Some things that work for me may not work for you. So we all have to sort of feel our way along on some of these things. But anyway, I'm downloading Firefox, and I believe it's on the computer, but we just have to check into it a little bit further. They're updating the browser, you know, so my browser, instead of being Chrome — I love Chrome, I think Chrome is great — but I do think Chrome, the browser Chrome, gets too far into your business. They want to know every damn thing, you know, because right now, I'm sure you've heard that Trump signed an executive order ending all internet privacy, which is stupid. It's totally stupid. This guy talks about making America great again. That's not making America great again. He barely even mentions — he's been in office for about maybe three and a half months. And he barely even mentions making America great again, even though America has already been great. He's devaluating America. He's taking America into the sewer. So instead of making America great again, he's making America the worst country in the world. You know, so, but getting back to Firefox, I'm going to take a break right here, folks, and I'm going to see what's happening here. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me all over the place. Like I said, said before, my guest is Marilyn Shannon. Sounds like a movie star, doesn't it? Marilyn Shannon on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back. We're going to take a musical break right here, folks. Stay with me. Welcome back, folks. I believe in Albuquerque, New Mexico, children are being slammed because children, I'm talking about grade school children, not high school children, grade school children, preschool, kindergarten, first and second, third grade. They are being slammed because they can't afford to pay for their breakfast and their lunches. So they're being shamed. Okay. One state, I believe, is trying to ban shaming. Shaming is just embarrassing children who cannot pay for their food. You know, I think that just stinks. And this is happening in New Mexico. And it's a state. It's a state within the United States, New Mexico. I'm not talking about Mexico, the country. New Mexico, in America, it's a state. Anyway, they are shaming students. Oh, I believe they're trying to ban it. But it's just awful when you're taking food out of children's mouths and liking it. That is just total crap. Their parents can't afford to pay for them to eat lunch and breakfast. So the state is going to shame their parents into paying for their lunches, paying for their children to eat, something to that effect. Anyway, and then some children, if they can't pay for their lunch, they have to sort of work it off, kind of. I like the idea of working to get something. But these are children. I can barely say it. These are children. Why would you want to take food away from children who can't afford food? Because no one can learn on an empty stomach. I've tried it when I was in grammar school. It didn't work. And high school, it didn't work. You cannot concentrate or study or do your homework on an empty stomach. You can't do it. A lot of families out here, a lot of mothers and fathers back then, they didn't have education. They couldn't teach their own children because they couldn't read or write. They didn't have any money. They was on welfare or whatever. They didn't have money, and they would send their kids to school hungry. And the only meal that those kids sometimes would have is what they would get at school. But now, with all of these Republicans in office, I mean, these people are taking away free lunch. They're taking away free breakfast. And they're saying, if you want to learn, starve. If you want to learn, you got to bag your own food or whatever. But anyway, it's awful that the Republicans don't give a damn. Actually, they don't even care about education. They're trying to get rid of education altogether. I mean, they put some lady in charge, Betsy DeVos, of education, and she looks as crazy and dim-witted as any person I have seen in charge of an important agency. Her job is just to find cuts, and she's going to cut everything she can, because right now they're cutting after school programs, they're cutting lunch, they're cutting this, they're cutting that, they're cutting gym, and they're finding excuses, finding ways to do it and making up excuses to why it needs to be done. They are cutting public schools. I think they want to get rid of them, folks. They really want to get rid of them. Because most politicians and most Republicans think that public schools are just a disgrace. They think they are a disgrace. And, you know, I'll tell you who's a disgrace. The disgrace are those politicians who say public schools are a disgrace. I bet you they know someone who's gone to a public school. Maybe they've gone to a public school. But they're in power now. They've They're rich, so now they're going to pound on the poor. They're going to pound on the poor. A lot of these politicians, a lot of these people were not born with silver spoons in their mouth. They had to grow up. A lot of them grew up in poverty. A lot of them grew up struggling. You know, but they're in Congress now, and they think that they are godsend to America, and they're not. They're not. So unpaid lunch, you know, this is crazy. I mean, why would they have to pay for their lunches anyway, if you think about it? In some states, kids got to pay for their lunches, and this is one of them, New Mexico. They got to pay. But a lot of them, like I just got through saying, folks, they cannot pay. They're poor. They don't have anything. How in the hell are they going to pay? So in some districts in Albuquerque, Mexico, New Mexico, they're making the children work for their food. I mean, these are 6 and 7 to 8 year old, 9 year old kids. Work for their food as if they're to blame for not being able to pay for their breakfasts and lunches. I don't know. I got to get more into this, but I, you know, because this is heartbreaking. This is heartbreaking, you know. So what don't they pay taxes in New Mexico? You know, property taxes, you know, I mean, most of the time property taxes are funding most of the schools throughout, you know, that state. I know property taxes fund the school. At least 67% of the property taxes fund the schools in the state of Illinois, from what I've been hearing. And it's just awful. I'm pretty sure there's other states within the United States doing similar things like this, shaming kids because they cannot pay to eat in those schools, as if those kids have a job or something. The parents are, like I just got through saying, the parents are probably, you know, getting government assistance some kind of way. You know, so I have said for a few months now, maybe a couple of years, if you public schools are in such a disarray, and it seems as though it's going to get worse and a lot worse with this Secretary of Education, Betty Ross, Betsy DeVos. She appears that she doesn't know what she's doing. This public education is in trouble. My advice to parents, if you can homeschool your child, do it. Save yourself the frustrations of these awful public schools in America. And don't get me wrong, public schools are not made awful by the children. Public schools in America are made awful by politicians. They are the ones who are snatching the funding away from some of these schools. The children are just scapegoats. They're in the middle of this mess. So my thing is, my thinking is, a lot of parents within the United States or anywhere you are in the world, you got children, if you are educated, if you're capable, if you are eager and you can do it, educate your own children. Keep them home. Buy a computer. You don't have to be in a classroom setting to give your child an education. You can give your child an education right from your living room, right from your kitchen, right from that laptop computer. All, and probably a much better education than you would get in a public school, because a lot of these schools are not teaching some of the valuable subjects that they used to teach years ago. In some cases, some of these public schools, especially in math classes, 2 and 2 plus 2 is not 4 anymore. 4 and 4 is not 8 anymore. Another answer. It's whatever that school wants it to be. you know, the simple basics are not being provided anymore. Some schools don't even teach Black history anymore. Some schools don't even teach history, period. You got some schools that only that don't even biology, geography. Some of that stuff is down the tube. Science, of course, science, you know, because biology is science, a part of science anyway. And Republicans, you know, they don't give a shit about science. They think it's all a farce, you know, and do not talk about religion in school. Please, the Republicans don't believe in God. They don't believe in anything. They believe, the Republicans believe in the Republicans. And that's how it's going to stay with these guys. All right, we're broadcasting live. We're live, folks. We're starting off a brand new week on the George Waddle Jr. Show. We should have some great guests coming on the show. Marilyn Shannon, maybe she'll be here. Maybe she won't. I don't know. But we are still waiting for her. And they forget. They don't put us on their calendar when they should, you know, so because a lot of the guests that I have on the show, they contact me to be on the show. And then I, you know, do a I run over their they'll send their bio. They'll send their phone number. Sometimes all my guests send their phone numbers, you know, but I barely seldom call anybody because I usually interact with them through email or inboxing or Facebook. So I don't really need to use a phone, but if it comes to that, I will call. But she probably forgot that she was supposed to be on the show. Cause a lot of times, you know, after the show is over, or George, I forgot, I fell asleep. Oh my God, George, I forgot to put you on the calendar. Can you reschedule me? Oh, George, you need to reschedule because my mother's coming over or whatever, you know? So people have excuses for missing the show, which is fine. I don't care because a lot of times I have my own problems. I mean, bad weather could strike any minute and the computers go bluey, you know? So there there's always something's happening, something going on. If Marilyn can't make it today, then I could reschedule her for the next day. That's if she lets me know that she accidentally forgot to do the show. All right, the weather in the city of Chicago, from my understanding, looking at this computer model here, it's 66 degrees. It's a chance of a thunderstorm, and the humidity is 71%. It's 53 degrees right now. It's a little cooler over here by the lake, though. It's always cooler by the lake because there's always wind blowing off the lake. Whenever you live near the lake, it's going to be cooler near the lake than it's going to be way inland. So, and tomorrow, let's see, Tuesday is going to be 53, Wednesday 63, Thursday 62, and Friday is going to be 63. I'm looking at the weather map here, so it could be wrong, folks. You never know. It might be a damn snowstorm or something. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. She's late, so I'm going to assume that she will not show, and we will get in touch with her and probably rebook her at some later point into the show. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me all over the place. Let's do this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. People keep on learning. So
Yeah, there's going to be free college, folks, all over the place. New York, I believe New York, and there's one other state that's offering four-year tuition-free college. You have to, you know, be under a certain income. I think you have to make less than $100,000 a year. That's that's a misnomer, because there's so many middle class people out there who make less than that. So that's great for people, but that's just New York. Hopefully, free college, free 4-year college, and free 2-year college. Maybe that's going to be the way that goes, but it's not going to be anything that the federal government has enacted. Give a damn about school education is a misnomer to some of these Republican, but it's going to be, from my understanding, free college, free 4-year college. In some states, there's already free 2-year colleges, junior colleges, but there's only, I believe, only 4 states within America your college, and I think those states include California. Now, here in Illinois, there's nothing free. I mean, if you want to go to a 2-year college, you're going to get charged up their ass. If you want to go to a 4-year college, you got to pay. Because we got some rotten politicians that feel that we should be to death. You know, I don't know if free tuition is going to be coming to Chicago or some of the other 45, 46 states around the country. What's happening in New York is going to trickle down states. They're saying, hey, free colleges are the way to go. As Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, you know, have been enumerating back during when they were campaigning, but especially Bernie Sanders. I mean, this guy was dead on free college for everybody, free 4-year college, universities. You want to go to school to be a doctor? It's free. You want to go to school to be a lawyer? It's free. You want to go to school to be a janitor? It's free. Whatever you want to do, it's free. It should be free, I should say. It should be free. Just like healthcare, it should be free. Nobody on God's earth should be walking this planet without healthcare. No one. But, hey, wow, we got the Republicans in office, and that's what's going to happen. I wish Obama would have, him and Emmanuel, when they were in office, when they were in Washington, they had the option of getting the public option. Free for everybody. You got countries, Canada has free health care, free schools. Other countries, free health care, free schools. What the hell is wrong with America? Why are you bitching about a child who can't pay for his breakfast or his lunch at school? This is crazy. This is not America. But, you know, folks, with Donald Trump and his administration, things are just going to get a lot worse. So tuition-free college for struggling families. That sounds great. But that's only in one or two states, you know, they're thinking about enacting it in one or two states. And I'm pretty sure that the states that going to enact this, if they do enact this tuition-free college thing, it'll be in Democratic states, because, you know, so it's still going to be a long way off, because you got the majority of the governors around the country are Republican, and a lot of these guys are against education, period. A lot of these guys are pulling funding away from education, pulling funding away from everything. You take this Brownback guy, I believe he's in Kansas. He's a Republican. This guy just has destroyed Kansas. And one of the things, a lot of these governors are going to be, you know, displaced come, you know, when their term is up, because they can only run for two terms, just like the president of the United States. They can only run for two terms. And I hope people, when they start to vote next year, open their damn eyes and vote for your governor, vote for your senator, vote for your representative. It's very, very important. A lot of people in 2016, they voted for Hillary, the popular vote. They voted for Hillary, but they did not vote straight ticket, Democratic straight down. They did not vote for their senators. They did not vote for their representatives. And this is why we have a Republican Congress who doesn't give a damn. You think, I believe, they don't even give a shit about what their constituency say. They're going against what their constituency want them to do in Congress. And that's a good thing, because that tells you that it's a possibility that some of these jackasses in Congress, Republicans, will be voted out in 2018. Their voters, their constituency, they are the bosses. Donald Trump is not the boss. Donald Trump did not elect them. Donald Trump did not get them in office. Their voters did. Their constituency did. They answer to their constituency. They don't answer to Donald Trump. If they answer to Donald Trump, their constituency do not like it, their ass is grass and they will not be reelected, hopefully. So we've got 2018 to look forward to. And in my heart and in my gut, I believe we're going to change Congress. Donald Trump may still be there. Who knows? And as I was telling someone the other day, I don't think this investigation into Russia is going to do anything in terms of getting Donald Trump impeached. Donald Trump had some victories. He got this Supreme Court justice seated on the Supreme Court. So now it's a 5-4 court, and this guy is way to the right. So Democrats can expect a lot of losses down the road. Was unfair the way the Republicans did it, but this is unprecedented, and it may be something they do from now on to try to get a Supreme Court, a justice set on the Supreme Court. You got to remember one thing, that this is a 5-4 court, 4 Democrats, 5 Republicans. And when you're on the Supreme Court, you are there for life. When you are a judge on the Supreme Court, that's a lifetime job. The only time you're going to quit is when you're dead. It's a life important post. Gorsuch is basically a young man. So he's going to be a Supreme Court justice for the rest of his life. And the only way he's going to get carried out of there is in a box. So these are sensitive posts. So, you know, Donald Trump got some wins down the road, you know, and he's filling his oats. You know, so come 2018, I mean, at the sound of my voice, you're listening. Make sure that everybody is registered to vote. Make sure they vote for their senators and their representatives. Whether it's a Republican or Democrat, independent, vote. This is why we're in this mess. And I saying back in 2015 and 2014, and I'm saying the same thing in 2017. Vote. If you don't vote, the other side is going to win. If you don't vote, they're still going to use your vote, but against you. So why would you want anybody to use your vote against you? Use your own vote. The candidate of your choice, hopefully not a Republican, but I can't tell people who to vote for or how to vote or when to vote. I can only tell you to vote. Vote. You see the mess of the country. We have Donald Trump. We have thugs in the White House. We got criminals in the White House. We got people who don't know what the hell they're doing in the White House. Trump is screaming and yelling and firing people. And this is not a TV show. This is serious. Trump just bombed Syria, killing women and children. Not that many, but, you know, collateral damage is going to be abound whenever you send jet fighter planes to some country to bomb some country. But I understand the bombing. And I, you know, it was a retaliation from the chemical gas that this guy used to kill his own people, including women and children. I understand it, but that still doesn't say that Donald Trump is going to be a good president. This man is the worst president ever. Ever. And I think he knows it because he didn't plan on winning. He didn't plan on being president. It just happened. Hillary thought she was going to win. We all thought Hillary was going to win. But hey, wow, that's over. That's over the hill. And we have to move on forward. And, you know, it's just we have to vote. You want to change things? It's not too far away. November 2018, that's not far away. You don't like the direction of the country. You don't like who's in the White House. You don't like a lot of the things that's going on, that's going to be happening. You have the power to change. You can't change a goddamn thing sitting on the couch, hoping things just magically change in your favor. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. You got to get out there in the world and make those changes for yourself. You want to get involved in politics? Check out your community center. You want to get involved? You want to get involved in politics, or you feel that the current politicians are corrupt? They are. Liars? They are. Scammers? That is totally what they are. Don't just sit around whine and write about it, and get out there and do something. Get your ass up off the couch. If you're complaining, get out there and do something, or do not complain. Or do not complain. This is not right. That's not right. Well, then get out there and make a change. Galvanize the people in your community. Run for office or get behind a candidate that you believe in and make some changes. And stop bitching. That's all it's about. Stop bitching. Get out there and make some. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 60. 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90. If you're in good health, get your ass out there and make a difference in your community, in your city, in your state, and in America. All righty. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, ranting once again. And we will do this, folks, if we can find it. Let's see what we're looking for. Okay. All righty. Martin Luther King, that's a great speech. Maybe we can do that on his birthday next year. Elizabeth Warren, let's do this from the Women's March. I believe it was back in January, on January 2017. It's always a great speech.
Of Massachusetts. And hello, friends of women of Massachusetts. Yeah. I love you too. Yeah. Thank you, Mayor Walsh. I am glad to have this chance to stand shoulder to shoulder to fight alongside the mayor of Boston for the people of this country. Thank you. So, we're here today because of the power of women. The power of women to come up with good ideas like this rally. The power of women to organize like this rally. and the power of women to make sure that as our country enters a new political era, that the voices of the people will be heard. Yesterday, Donald Trump was sworn in as president. That sight is now burned into my eyes forever. And I hope the same is true for you, because we will not forget. We do not want to forget. We will use that vision to make sure that we fight harder, we fight tougher, and we fight more passionately for than ever, not just for the people whom Donald Trump supports, but for all of America. People are worried. Donald Trump's campaign was about attacks on women, attacks on African Americans, attacks on Latinos, attacks on religious groups, attacks on immigrants. A Trump-Pence Supreme Court could overturn Roe versus Wade and dissolve marriages of LGBTQ citizens. A Republican Congress is eager to rip away health care from millions of Americans. America's hardworking families have taken one punch after another. Decades of trickle-down economics and attacks on unions, attacks on wages, attacks on pensions, attacks on health care, attacks on Social Security, attacks on education, attacks on infrastructure and financial regulation have gutted America's middle class. A broken criminal justice system, a broken voting rights system, and decades of systematic racism have kept people of color from having the same opportunities as other Americans throughout this country. The fact is that the playing field has been tilted badly in favor of those at the top for a generation now. And now, President Trump and the Republican Congress are ready to ram through laws that will tilt it even harder. Now, we can whimper, we can whine, or we can fight back. Me, I'm here to fight back. I'm here to fight back. And that is why we come together today. Hundreds of thousands of people in Boston, in Washington, and across this country, we are in marches to say we are fighting back. That's who we are. We come here to stand shoulder to shoulder, to make clear we are here, we will not be silent. We will not play dead. We will fight for what we believe in.
Yeah!
You bet. We have a vision, and that vision defines who we are as a people. First, we fight for basic dignity and respect for every human being, period. No compromise, no backing up. And second, we fight for economic opportunity, not just for those at the top, but for everyone. All of our kids deserve a fighting chance to get ahead. Everyone, economic opportunity for everyone. That is the American deal, and that's what we fight for. You know, those core principles call out the best in who we are. For too long, American families have seen a government and an economy that isn't working for them. And Trump and the Republicans promise to make America worse. But we're here because we are ready to fight for the people who want to build a country that works for all of us. That's why we're here. We come together to give each other strength. We come together to give each other courage. We come together to remind each other of our values. As we get ready to march, let us remind each other what we believe in and why we fight and why we will keep right on fighting. We believe that no one in this country should work full time and live in poverty. And that means raising the minimum wage. Yes, it does. Paid overtime, sick leave, we will fight for it. We believe that workers have a right to come together and to bargain together. Unions built America's middle class, and unions will rebuild America's middle class. We believe that every young person is entitled to get an education without getting crushed by student loan debt. We believe in debt-free college. Now, I'm going to say something that is really controversial in some places in Washington. We believe in science. Change is real, and we have a moral responsibility to protect this earth for our children and our grandchildren. We also believe that immigration makes us a stronger country. We will not build a stupid wall. That sexism, racism, homophobia, and bigotry have no place in this country. Black lives matter. Diversity makes our country stronger.
What do you think you can do? What do you think you don't do after high school? Do it. Rewrite it.
We believe that equal means equal, and that's true in marriage. It's true every place. We will never stop fighting to ensure equality for all of our citizens. You know, I could do this all day.
right. Okay. All right. Some more Chicago news. Some more shootings and whatever you want to call them now. Killings, whatever. All right. This latest killing is not a thug, not a gangbanger, not a child, not a teenager. This latest killing on the south side of the city of Chicago. A judge, and the perpetrator, the shooter, has not been caught, has not been apprehended. This guy who shot and killed this judge in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago, is still out there. This guy is still out there. He has not been caught. And that's what I've been saying for a long time, folks. If you don't catch these murdering scoundrels, they are out there to do that again. I mean, you got to get these people off the streets. You know, this is another black eye for the Chicago police. Far as I'm concerned. Okay, let me say that again. This is another black eye for the Chicago Police Department. Yeah, this is another black. I mean, I'm pretty sure the superintendent, Eddie Johnson, is going to get on television and do his press conference about this, to why they can't seem to be in the right places to prevent this kind of shooting. But this is a judge. All right, cops hope security will point to judge's killer. Now they're going to look at surveillance video and try to find out who this person was or what they look like when they gunned down this judge in front of his own home. But even if this guy is on a video surveillance tape somewhere, overhead cameras and all that kind of thing, that does not mean that they are going to catch him. They may know what he looked like, but that's not going to say for sure if they're going to catch him. It's possible that they could, but videotape is not reliable when it comes to apprehending people, because a lot of people, folks know that nowadays, everywhere you go, you're on camera. You're on videotape. And the bad guys know it too. So that's why they come. That's why when they come to do a crime, they're all covered up. Mask, baggy pants, and everything. Hoodies. You know, they're all, you can't see them. You know, the cameras can't catch a good image because in some instances they are in disguise. Okay, Chicago police on the scene in the 9400 block of South Forest. A Cook County judge was killed and a woman was wounded in a shooting early Monday. This is Monday right here, so it was early Monday morning, I'm thinking. Okay. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We are on 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 6 o'clock to 7:30. Depends. Sometimes we'll go to 8 o'clock. I'm thinking about extending the show, folks, because I love doing it so much, and I truly, truly do. All righty, we're going to talk a little bit more about this judge, okay, who was killed. He's a Cook County associate judge, and his name is Raymond Miles. Okay, he persuaded his South Side neighbors to install surveillance cameras on their homes. Now, those same cameras could solve Monday's fatal shooting of the judge, police have said. Police are checking the cameras to see whether they can help identify the gunman. Detectives are considering a variety of motives, including robbery. Or maybe the judge sent somebody to jail a few years ago or a few months ago, and they got pissed off. The buddies got pissed off and came back and shot him. That happens. That happens. Judges, their lives are in peril all the time because they sentence these guys to prison, to jails. I mean, they give them so many years, and a lot of these guys, their family, their friends may not like it, and they may go hunting for the judge who put their loved one behind bars where they belong, you know, and these people are pissed off and they go after the judges. I think most judges should have some sort of round the clock police protection, especially in the city of Chicago. I think everybody, every citizen in the city of Chicago, our protection. Because you never know what's going to happen out here in these streets. And I'm not just talking about Chicago. Chicago is not the only city with high crime. You got Detroit, you got Ohio, New York, you got, you know, they may not be as high as Chicago's, but crime is crime and it happens everywhere. So that's why I always tell people, when you go outside, be vigilant. Be vigilant. I mean, put down that damn phone and look where you're going, because you never know, the bad guy might be walking right on, or coming up on you or coming to your side. You have to pay attention to where you're going and be having your face down on your phone. And I want to say this. A lot of people are adhering to that advice, because I don't see a lot of young people, if the bad guy is following you, or if the bad guy is coming up on you, or if the bad guy is trying to sneak look around, pay attention. If that bad guy see that you have spotted him or her, they're gonna walk away from you because you've spotted them. But if you do not spot them, if they figure you didn't see them, or maybe you see them and you're not paying that much attention, they're gonna do you harm. So if you suspect he's gonna probably go the other way and leave you alone because you blew his cover. He may feel that you may have a gun or weapon on you, ready to use it. You know, so pay attention to your surroundings. And I always say to people, and this is probably wrong for me to say this to people, but in this day and age, you gotta have something. You just can't go outside, not even to the store, not even to your car, without carrying something. And especially say this to seniors and the elderly. You cannot, you have to be armed with something in today's society. You go out here with nothing, the bad guys are out here to pounce on you. They, you know, carry something. If it's a knife or mace or a registered gun that you have a permit for. And be aware and be conscious of what can happen. I mean, when I walk down the street, I'm looking over my back, shoulder. Oh, all right, okay, I got you. You know, carry something. You feel safer knowing that there is something on you that's going to protect you in case the bad guys, you know, come up behind you, knock you in the head, or attempt to do those things. It's health safe. You know, you go out there, you're safe. You know, because there's a lot of people out there who are out there to harm you. They're out there to harm me. And we want to stay safe. So I always tell people, if you can, if you want to, it's up to you. Carry something that's going to make you feel a lot safer out there. I know a lot of young girls out here, and I see them all the time, and they're just as pretty and beautiful as they can be. They should be carrying something. Maybe they are. I don't know. You know, because you never know when the bad guys are going to come jump out of the woods, you know, and pounce on you. You got something, you got some sort of protection on you. You can use it in your defense. Okay, I'm not saying grab a gun and go out there and shoot everybody, but I'm just saying be careful out there and take some protection with you. Maybe some mace or something. Mace is good. You know, you can spray it and burn their eyes. kick them in the nuts or something and wait for the police officers, the police to show up. Okay, this show is all about making the world a better place, folks. That's all it is. And keeping you safe, keeping my listeners safe, because I love you, because you tune into my show every time. You don't have to, but you do that. You're not getting anything for it, but you do. And we want to make sure we're going to keep you guys safe, my listeners all over the world. And that's a great thing. All right, we're going to have to reschedule author Marilyn Shannon. I mean, she's probably got some sort of way out excuse. You know, a lot of times I book my show a month or 2 months in advance, and a lot of the guests on my show, they have busy lives, and things just, you know, happen. It happens. Like my show, sometimes I'm not on the air but I always try to apologize. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Block Talk Radio. It is 7:15, straight up. Yeah, Wilder Jr. Show. All right, 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. What else have we got here? Oh, yeah, governor. A Republican governor resigns. This is in Alabama. You know, I think his name is Robert Bentley. Is that a misprint? I'm not sure. But anyway, we're going to have to check it out. Anyway, he was caught cheating on his wife. And they've got a voice tape. They have him on tape saying it. They've confiscated his, I'm assuming his false. So he resigns, and Republican governor. And things I've never really got next to, all of these southern states down south, and they have these Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. I mean, you Kansas, you know, a lot of these states have governors, and the population is majority African American. Tells you right then, that tells you that a lot of people didn't vote, or a lot of people voted Republican because they was upset at Obama. That's always a possibility, you know. So anyway, this guy resigns. He was covering it up. I remember a few months ago they had him on television and he was lying about the affair. So now they got him. They got him. Wow. Another thing I want to mention about online shopping. Online shopping is just awesome. Online shopping is just awesome because the internet, and they're trying to play this down, but the internet, buying online, shopping online, is causing a lot of these stores to close. A lot of these stores, I'm going to give you a litany of them. Okay, Sears, they're planning on closing or shutting down a lot of stores. Kmart, they're planning on closing and shutting down a lot of stores. Radio Shack is already gone. JCPenney claiming that they're still making a profit. They're just shuffling things around a little bit. Staples, Macy's, all these big box stores, they're blaming online shopping like Amazon and some of these other Target and some of these other big box stores. They're blaming internet sales for declining declining sales in a lot of these big stores. I think that's a misnomer, because I think if Sears, Kmart, Radio Shack, JCPenney, if they want to stay in business and not go out of business, they have to start being like Amazon, being like Target. Look at what a lot of these successful big box stores are doing, and you do it. I admit I do a lot of online shopping too, but a lot of times I'm disappointed whenever I get the package, because the item is usually smaller than what I thought it was to be. I think I would rather walk into a department store than to shop online, because I'll know what I'm getting. I can look at it. I can feel it. I can turn it upside down, looking back of it. I can see how small it is or how large it is. You know, I do think going out to a store instead of doing it online is more beneficial than shopping online, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people who order online and they finally get their packages, they have to return them because they didn't know actually what they were getting. It happened to me twice. I mean, I ordered something that looked really great, beautiful and wonderful, and it looked gigantic, you know, but once it came to my door, it was, damn, this is so small. I thought it was big. They give you a false impression of the item when you're online. They give you you can see every grainy. It's in 3D. It's in HD, you know. And once that package arrives at your door, wow, what the hell is this? If you had gone inside to the store instead of doing it online, you could have actually talked to the representative or the salesperson and look at the item that you want and buy what you exactly want. Because online, you may not get what you order. They may replace it with something. Well, we didn't have that, so we sent you this. You know, so I actually think it's better to, I'm not saying that I'm going to stop shopping online. I'm probably going to continue to do it, but I'm also going to be going to stores to do a lot of shopping too, because, you know, it'll keep you from, you know, having to return something that you purchased that you thought you were getting and you got something else, or it wasn't what you thought it was. I think that online shopping is great, but I think in-person shopping is better. That's my thinking on it, okay? All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is, what time is it? 7:22. 7:22, folks. It's a Monday night. It's raining. It's cloudy. It's kind of muggy if you think about it, but it's a good day. It's a good day. We got about 8 more minutes left into the show. It's been great. It's been fun. We're going to rebook her. Depends on what she tells me. And it's great. I love doing the show. I love that you're there. 347-857-1762. You know, it's just a great time to be on the radio. And we've got a lot of things going on in the world. And and we're trying to make the world a better place.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. Trump has promised a news conference Wednesday. I'll believe it when I see it. He has every reason to cancel it or simply ignore his promise. The trick worked with the news conference about his wife's reported immigration irregularities. The trick worked with the news conference he scheduled for December 15th to address his potential business conflicts of interest. The trick worked when he promised for last Tuesday or Wednesday revelations about Russia's hacking of the election. Of course, Trump has broken his promise. It's a Trump promise. But this news conference is designed as, and here is my favorite word again, chaff, to deflect from the now 4 confirmation hearings Trump and his Senate monkey Mitch McConnell have scheduled for the same day, including the confirmation of a nominee who had not yet been vetted by the ethics office, DeVos at Education, including the confirmation of the man who defines the corporate globalism Trump himself specifically denounced as recently as December 1st, Secretary of State nominee Rex Tillerson, who's actually a resident of the nation of Exxon. To deflect from these real problems, Tillerson is like the John Houseman and Ned Beatty characters from the movies Rollerball and Network. Trump has to say something outrageous, to start a new flimsy controversy at a news conference, to lie about somebody, to dig up a new scapegoat, to find a way to attack Hillary Clinton, or NBC, or me, or you. But Trump's handlers have a problem. His increasingly self-destructive statements about Russia and hacking and the Putin WikiLeaks scandal have suggested Trump is losing what little self-control he still has, and that there is every reason to suppose that instead of providing chaff to protect Tillerson and the rest of this gang of pirates he has nominated, he will instead reveal something impeachable about himself. Again, like he did at his last news conference, if only the country had fully understood it at the time. There is a specific reason Trump has not held a news conference since the 27th of July last year. It is because on that day he inadvertently eliminated the need to prove that his campaign knew in advance that Russia was hacking American computers for the specific purpose of putting him in as its puppet in the White House. After that July 27th news conference, proof of that was...
How's it going?
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven help us all.
Everybody, thanks a lot. Take care.